If you've got your Bibles, can you turn to 2 Kings, chapter 18? And just while you're turning to there, just to let you know, we have two teams from Trinity out this week. We have one team of people with Dave Price, and they're doing a prophetic workshop over at a church in Lincoln. So they've got a team up there. And then we have another team of people that are over at Mill Hill East Church. Bode is preaching over there. So it's good to see a team, you know, teams of people from around the place, from Trinity, going out. We're going to read something from 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. But before we do that, can anybody just tell me who are some of the people that you really admire? And this isn't a rhetorical question. Genuinely, who are the people in life that you do really quite admire? Oh, thank you. Yes, yes. Yes. Anyway, so that fiver that I sort of like slipped to you earlier. Christian of the week, yes. Last week we initiated Christian of the week, and it went to Marco, who prayed for a Catholic priest. This week it goes to Jules Juncker. Okay, anybody else? Who are some of the people that we really admire in life? There must be some people. Your mum. Okay, so tell it, what is it about your mum that you really admire? Her heart? What? Tell me a little bit more. So, Zoe, you've grown up with all sorts of people staying in your house, and asylum seekers, refugees, constantly coming through your house. Okay, very good. Anything else? Anybody else that we admire? Why do you admire Martin Luther King? He fought for justice. Anything else about him? He stood up for what was wrong. He stood up for what was right. Okay, he paid the price. He stood up for what was right. There was a cost to pay. Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? There are lots of people that we admire, and for all sorts of different reasons. But one of the traits that I think many of us will admire is the people that just keep going, and they will keep coming, and they will keep knocking on your door. They will keep serving. They will keep battling injustice, or they will keep inviting people into your home. And there are some of the people that we just admire, those who keep going, for they know what is right. And I felt there was an anointing on us to say that today we will be people who change the world. And sometimes that takes a little bit of perseverance. And when we say change the world, some of us will be called to change the whole world and to shape history and to shape culture. And some of us will be called to change the world of our neighbors. And some of us will be called to change the world of the friends that we have around us. I just need to let you know really quickly, I went into a shop in Edgware this week to buy a part for my motorbike. Well, it's not really a motorbike, really. It's just a random collection of bits of old iron, okay, at the moment. But occasionally it goes. But anyway, I had to go into this shop. And the owner of this shop, he was just talking to me. And then he started saying to me, Duncan, I've known him because I've done some courses down there. He said, have you seen the film The Exorcist and all that sort of stuff? Because we've had some interesting conversations in the past. Have you seen The Exorcist stuff? That is some spooky stuff that is going on. And he was going on and on about it. And he's having some Catholic background. And then he was saying that, yeah, I used to have to go to Catholic Mass. And when I went to Mass, I'd have to confess all my sins to this man who I didn't really know. And then he'd have to say, okay, now you've got to go and do four rosaries. And that used to take ages. And why did I have to go and do that? And I've never been able to so clearly say to him, do you know what? Actually, it's not about you paying a price yourself. It's about what Jesus did for you. That when all that stuff goes on, and I said, you know, if you believe in a God who is good, you have to therefore believe in that there is a devil who is like bringing evil into this world. And he was like, oh, really? Well, you actually believe some of that stuff? And then I said, yeah, but it was about Jesus paid the price. You don't have to pay the price for your sins anymore. And there was the other one of the bike instructors who was there as well. And I thought, this is really weird. I'm just explaining the gospel so clearly to some guys that really, really want to know. And you know, I feel there is something about, there's an anointing on us to change the world. And another occasion just this week, I played for a friend of mine who I play rugby with, and his dad died. And you know, there's always these moments, aren't there, where you think, I don't know, can I do this? can I? And I just said, look, can I just pray for you? And he said, yeah. So I just prayed, Jesus, I pray that you'd be with this man right now as he mourns the loss of his dad. Prayed, bring him peace. In Jesus' name, amen. It's really quite easy. He was so moved. I don't think he's got any religious background at all. He was really moved. And just my last story from this week is on Friday night, I met Billy Vunipola, who, yeah, well, if you don't, he's the England number 8 at rugby. And I met him on the side of a pitch, and just really quickly, he was there, and I said, oh, Billy, it's good to meet you. Do you know I'm really praying for you? And he was genuinely sort of like, he appeared, I don't know, he may have just get this loon out of my face, but I just know I'm genuinely praying for you, and there are lots of people who are praying for you, that as a man of faith in rugby, you shine really brightly. And he said, oh, thank you. Thank you for that. But I just feel we are called to be world changers. And it comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. But what happens when life isn't so easy? And I want to just really, in the time that I have, I've got from the story of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah of Judah, I've just got 6 brief points in how do we deal with pressure so that when things don't go particularly well, how can we keep pressing on with what God has called us to do? King Hezekiah, he was around about 700 years before Jesus, and we're going to read. To be honest, I'm going to read in fits and starts much of 2 Kings, chapter 18 and 19, and I'm going to read a passage, and then we'll just draw some conclusions out of there. So firstly, 2 Kings, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, began to rule over Judah in the 3rd year of King Hoshea's reign in Israel. There were 2 kingdoms, Israel in the north and Judah in the south. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. He removed the pagan shrines, he smashed the sacred pillars, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke up the bronze servant that Moses had made because the people of Israel had been offering sacrifices to it. The bronze servant was called Neshutan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, and there was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed all the commands the Lord had given Moses. So the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. He revolted against the king of Assyria and refused to pay him tribute. He also conquered the Philistines as far as the distant Gaza and its territory, from the smallest outpost to their largest walled city. And then dropping down to verse 13. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, King Sennacherib of Assyria came to attack the fortified towns of Judah and conquered them. The first thing I want to say is this. If you are under pressure, it's not necessarily because you've done anything wrong. Sometimes you just come under pressure. And King Hezekiah here, he was a fantastic king. He was a young leader. He was godly. He was brave. He was courageous. It said there was no one like him amongst all the kings of Judah. And he was brave in addressing areas of compromise amongst his own people. He cut down all these Asherah poles. He got rid of loads of idols. He was really courageous in dealing with enemies outside. It says he conquered the Philistines. It said he refused to bow down to this king who was sort of like trying to oppress him. And then it says 4 years later, King Sennacherib attacked him. And you know, sometimes you just think, what have I done to be under all this pressure? I don't think it's necessarily because you have done anything sometimes that you are under pressure. You will sometimes become under pressure if you're simply trying to change the culture of a place. That's what happens. Sometimes you will just find yourself under pressure. And this story that we're reading now is the story of how Hezekiah dealt with that pressure. So the first point is this. If you're under pressure, it's not necessarily because you have done something wrong. The second bit I want to read is 2 Kings 18, verse 14. King Hezekiah sent this message to the king of Assyria at Lachish. So it's the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, who was attacking him. And it says this. This is what Hezekiah says. I have done wrong. Can I just ask you the question? What was it that King Hezekiah had done wrong. What was it? The answer is nothing. He hadn't done anything wrong. He hadn't done anything wrong. But the first thing that King Hezekiah says is this. I will pay whatever tribute money you demand, if you will only withdraw. The king of Assyria then demanded a settlement of more than 11 tons of silver and 1 ton of gold. To gather this amount, King Hezekiah used all the silver stored in the temple of the Lord and in the palace treasury. Hezekiah even stripped the gold from the doors of the Lord's temple and from the doorposts he had overlaid with gold, and he gave it all to the Assyrian king. Nevertheless, the king of Assyria sent his commander-in-chief, his field commander, and his chief of staff from Lachish with a huge army to confront King Hezekiah in Jerusalem. And the Assyrians took up a position beside the aqueduct that feeds the water into the upper pool near the road leading to the field where the cloth is washed. It's good to be precise about where they actually went to. The issue is this. I don't think Hezekiah had done anything wrong. But straight away he said, what have I done wrong? And it's really easy when you're under pressure to start getting into this self-condemnation. What is it that I have done? And I just need to know, this was not King Hezekiah's finest hour, and it cost him quite a lot of money. Because he then stripped all the gold out of the temple, out of the stores, anywhere that he could get any temple, and he gave it all to this king of Assyria. And what did the king of Assyria do? He said, thank you very much, and he attacked him anyway. The issue is that sometimes we always want to think, oh, it's my own fault. And if you're under pressure, you think, oh, I shouldn't have been that bold in talking to my friend. I shouldn't have taken this job. Look where it's landed me. We shouldn't have moved to the cinema a few years ago because look what happened. I shouldn't have decided to take these exams because I know I'm just under so much pressure. And sometimes you think, oh no, we feel condemned and we think, oh, what? I am at fault. And like Hezekiah with King Sennacherib, what have I done wrong? And I just need to let you know that the devil would love to make you feel very, very condemned. And do you know how you can tell the difference between when the devil condemns you and when the Holy Spirit convicts you? The difference is this. When the devil condemns you, you just feel really bad. Generally, you just feel bad. You're not really sure what you've done, but you wake up and you think, ugh. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, the Holy Spirit says this. This is what you did wrong. Come before me on your knees, repent of your sin, and I will love to forgive you. And that's the difference. But the devil would really love just to make you feel down. And I think that is what happened here to King Hezekiah. King Sennacherib attacked him, and he just said, oh, it's my own fault. Now, we do have to sometimes live with the consequences of our actions. But do you know what? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will convict you and say, no, repent of this. The devil will just want to make you feel really, really bad. It's tempting to make you think it's all your own fault. The next thing I just want to read is this from 2 Kings 18, verses 19 to 27. Then the Assyrian king's chief of staff told them to give this message to Hezekiah. This is what the great king of Assyria says. What are you trusting in that makes you so confident, Hezekiah? Do you think that mere words can substitute for military strength and skill? Who are you counting on that you have rebelled against me? On Egypt? If you lean on Egypt, it will be like a reed that splinters beneath your weight and pierces your hand. Pharaoh, that king of Egypt, is completely unreliable. But perhaps, Hezekiah, you will say to me, we are trusting in the Lord our God. But isn't he the one who was insulted by Hezekiah? Didn't Hezekiah tear down his shrines and altars and make everyone in Judah and Jerusalem worship only at the altar here in Jerusalem? I'll tell you what, let's strike a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I'll give you 2,000 horses if you could find that many men to ride them. With your tiny army, how can you think of challenging even the weakest contingents of my master's troops, even with the help of Egypt's chariots and charioteers. What's more, do you think that we have invaded your land without the Lord's direction? The Lord himself told us, attack this land and destroy it. And then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna and Joah said to the Assyrian chief of staff, please, would you just speak to us in Aramaic? For we understand it really well. Don't speak in Hebrew, because all these people on the wall will hear us. But Sennacherib's chief of staff replied, do you think my master sent this message only to you and your master? He wants all the people to hear it. For when we put this city under siege, they will suffer along with you. And they will be so hungry and so thirsty that they will eat their own dung and drink their own urine. Great verse. When you are under pressure, be ready for the accusations to come thick and fast. And some we will know that you will get accusations from staff members, from bosses, from family, from colleagues, occasionally even people within the church will make all these accusations to you, and they say, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? And then he'll say, and who are you trusting in your friends? These envoys of King Sennacherib said, who are you, you going to try and trust in the Egyptians? They're not really your friends at all. And then they started, and God isn't trustworthy. Surely you should know that. And then they said, and God isn't even on your side. He's on our side. All the accusations. And then the best bit of all is, it then gets really public. Now, I don't know what the equivalent of social media was in those days, but it is the equivalent of speaking Hebrew so everyone else can hear. It is the same of launching all these accusations onto Twitter and Facebook. And that, I mean, it just becomes really, really public. And so when we are under pressure, we just need to know this. It won't necessarily be your fault, even though you'll want to condemn yourself. And sometimes it may get really, really public. The accusations will come, and they will come at you thick and fast. So how was it that Hezekiah dealt with this? Point number 4, 2 Kings 19. When King Hezekiah heard the report of what this king of Assyria was going to do to them, he tore his clothes and he put on burlap and went to the temple of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the court secretary, and all the leading priests, all dressed in burlap. And he sent them to the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, and told them, this is what King Hezekiah says. Today is a day of trouble, insults, and disgrace. It is like when a child is ready to be born, but the mother has no strength to deliver the baby. Hezekiah, he'd had too much. Hezekiah just said, no, I am under enormous pressure. And his fight had gone. He just said, no, it's like somebody who's getting ready to give birth to a baby, but their strength has just gone. And I don't know if you, do you ever feel when you're under pressure, do you think, do you know what, I've done everything I can in this workplace. I've done everything I can to shine brightly for Jesus. I've done everything I can whenever somebody comes up and they want to be prayed for. I've offered to pray for them. And I've done everything I can to be the most upright person and the most honest person when everyone else is doing things that are slightly dubious. I've done everything. Do you know what? I've just done now. It's somebody else's turn to shine brightly for Jesus. Can I have a break, please? Well, you just need to know that is what Hezekiah felt. It is exactly what King Hezekiah felt. This is the day when a baby is ready to be born, but the mother's got no strength. I am done. I don't know what you do when you get like that. And you may want to run away. You may want to go to sleep. You may want to just go for a run. You may want to just go and watch television. You may want to do anything. You may want to get involved in anything. Eat chocolate is what you may want to do. You may want to start moaning. You may want to start bitching about people. But this is what Hezekiah did. He runs to the prophet Isaiah. He
even I'm burning up.
Hezekiah runs to the prophet Isaiah. And then after he receives a letter, says this in chapter 19, verse 9. Soon afterwards, King Sennacherib received word that the king of Turco, of Ethiopia, was leading an army to fight against him. But so before leaving to face that attack, he sent messages back to Hezekiah in Jerusalem with this message. This message is for King Hezekiah of Judah. Don't let your God in whom you trust deceive you with promises that Jerusalem will not be captured by the king of Assyria. You know perfectly well that the kings of Assyria have done whatever they have needed. They have completely destroyed everyone who stood in their way. Why should you be any different? Have the gods of other nations rescued them? Have the nations of Gozan and Haran and Rephah and the people of Eden who were in Telassar? My predecessors destroyed them all. What happened to the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad? What happened to the kings of Seraphim, Hena and Ivah? And after Hezekiah read the letter from the messengers, he went up to the Lord's temple and he spread it out before the Lord. I just feel whenever we are under pressure, I feel the temptation to hide. And whenever we're under pressure, there is a real temptation not to go to God, but to go and do anything else at all. But what Zechariah does here is this. He was under acute pressure. His kingdom, the enemies of his kingdom, were just right on his doorstep. They were right there and they were sending these extraordinarily threatening letters. And he said, you just need to know, there is no way you're going to survive this. So what Hezekiah did was this. He ran to the prophet Isaiah and he ran to the Lord. He set this letter and he laid it out in the temple. And I feel that there is a temptation to hide away. Simon Holly, who's up at King's Arms Church in Bedford, remember him saying this, that whenever the enemy says hide something away, God says get it out into the open. And I think Simon has been fantastic at modelling that. And I know he was really open with the fact that when he was, you know, a few years ago, he really struggled with some addiction to pornography. And you're thinking, how can somebody in church leadership have issues with that? And no, I think actually what Simon was doing was saying, no, I'm going to be so brutally honest in the issues that are affecting me. And it was a level of honesty and integrity that said, no, when you want to hide something away, the devil will say, hide it away. No, actually, God says, no, get it out into the open. You know, there was a while ago when Pete Thomas came and he was preaching here. And the level of honesty that Pete shared with was amazing. And he said, you know, a long time ago, he'd really wanted to go into church leadership. And he'd been rejected. He tried to get to become a Baptist minister. And he was rejected. And it hurt him a lot. And he's still trying to process it. But, you know, I think the devil would say to Pete, hide that away. Don't tell anyone about that because it's shameful. And whenever the enemy says hide something away, God says, no, come out into the open. Do you know, even with these issues of the money, about, you know, what the money that the council are saying on here, there's part of me that says, I want to hide that away. I don't actually want the church to know that we owe that money to the council, even though there's a really great argument saying, well, it was the council's fault, they didn't give us a lease, and they didn't take any money, you know. But part of me wants to hide, I don't really want to say that amongst the church. But no, whenever the devil says, no, hide it away, God says, bring it out into the open. And that's what Hezekiah did, and he took this thing, and he took it out to the temple, and he took this letter that the king of Assyria, and he placed it on the altar in the temple. And he said this in verse 15. I'll go back to verse 4. Hezekiah received the letter. He went up to the Lord's temple and he spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer before the Lord. O Lord God of Israel, you are enthroned between the cherubim. You alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You alone created the heavens and the earth. Bend down, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to Sennacherib's words of defiance against the living God. It is true, Lord, that these kings of Assyria have destroyed all of these nations. And they have thrown the gods of these nations into the fire and burned them. But of course the Assyrians could destroy them, because they were not gods at all, only idols of wood and stone shaped by human hands. Now, O Lord our God, rescue us from his power. Then all the kingdoms of earth will know that you alone, O Lord, are God. When you're under pressure, the one thing you have to do is this. You have to challenge the enemy's version of events. He had to go back and he just had to say, you know, no, I'm under this extraordinary pressure, but I'm going to sing the songs of worship to my king, because he is the true God. He is the one that will save us. And so this morning when we came, and you think there has to be, at times there's a sense of defiance in our worship, because we have all these pressures coming into us and all these things that will say, all these accusations, and people will say all sorts of things in, no, you are the true God. You are the one that will come through on this. You are the one that reigns sovereignly on high. You alone are God. Nobody compares. And constantly the devil will try and say, yeah, but what if? What if? You just need to know, over the last couple of weeks, there have been a lot of what ifs going on in my mind. What if we don't get the money to get? What if the council then say to us, yeah, in February you're out? What if this and what if that? What if you get cancer? What if you lose your job? What if you don't raise the money? What if? What if? And you know, I think that the devil has a field day in our lives because of the thinking that goes on before we make a response to people. And it's all the what-ifs, they just keep coming up. What Hezekiah did was this, he went in and said, no, you alone are God. You alone are God. You are the sovereign one. You reign on high, nobody can defy you. And it's this declaration, and it's saying, no, I'm not going to agree actually with what my enemies are saying, no, I'm going to correct my thinking. You alone are God. You can turn it around. And even stuff that seems really bad, you say, well, what if this, what if that, no, what if this turns out for good? What if it turns out for good? What if the council say to us in February, that's it, you're done? Well, what if that turns out for good? I don't want that because I can see a building out there. But what if it turns out for good? And you can turn it around. You know, there's a couple in the church who are dear friends, and they've like planted a church. Like locally. And I've got all sorts of questions about it. Is it the right thing? I don't know. I don't really understand. And all the what ifs came up. And then you just have to say, what if that is a good thing? You're just going to decide, no, this, what if this is a good thing? Let the Lord bless what he is doing. Somehow we need to turn around. And Hezekiah kept challenging the narrative that came from Sennacherib. He kept coming back and saying, the enemies are saying this, I'm going to challenge it. This is what the Lord says. What the enemy meant for evil, God designs for good. And my last point is this, and then we're going to finish. This is the shortest passage to read. From 2 Kings 19, verse 35. That night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. When the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. Then King Sennacherib of Assyria broke camp and returned to his own land. And it goes on, it says later on he was killed by his own sons. Actually, in this situation, the battle was won. The Lord won the battle for them. And the issue is that hope is never, ever lost. But I just need to say to you, what happens if the cancer scare becomes a cancer reality? What happens if the unjust accusation becomes dismissal? What happens if you don't have enough money at the end of the week? What happens if we don't make that money? I just need to let you know this, that hope is never, ever lost. And once hope is gone, everything else is gone. But in Jesus Christ, hope remains. We will never lose hope. This is what it says. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage our hearts and strengthen you in every good word and deed. Do you know, I feel that the most inspiring people that I know are the people who saw something of God and pressed on. And they were unrelenting. And they were unrelenting in their sense of, no, I am trusting in the hope that comes in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we will face situations that will be difficult. But God says this, no, in me, hope never dies. in Christ. I know that whatever happens, I am secure in my Father's love. Did you know, whatever happens, you are secure in your Father's favor. Whatever happens, if you have put your faith in Christ Jesus, your Father is pleased with you. It's quite hard to say that. Yeah, but what about this? What if, what if, what if, what if? No, your Father is pleased with you because you've put your faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And nothing can take it away.